This is Heart of Mind, and I'm Catherine Davis, and I have a very special program for you today. I'm really excited to be welcoming our guest to the program, and we're going to be speaking with Sonia Barrett, and she is the executive producer of the award-winning documentary, The Business of Disease. Sonia Barrett is known for her cutting-edge insights, with much of it supported by quantum physics. Theoretical physicist Dr. Amit Goswami refers to her as a true mystic. Her work bridges the gap between science and spirituality in a simplified format. She addresses the programming, beliefs, and concepts by which we have lived our lives both individually and collectively. Sonia Barrett is the author of The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, and her second book, A Journey of Possibilities. She is also the publisher of the book Health, An Inside Job, An Outside Business, a supplement to the film. And her latest book and 7-day program, Simple Ways to Step Outside of Your Comfort Zone, Letting Go of an Outdated Life. She has been a popular radio guest appearing on such shows as Coast to Coast AM with host George Norrie, Red Ice Radio, Conscious Media Network, Gaia TV, and a host of others. Sonia Barrett has been a keynote speaker at such conferences as the Alchemy Conference, Conscious Life Expo, the ISEEM Conference, Conspiracy Conference, the Bay Area UFO Conference, and more. She has appeared on panels with such visionaries as Bruce Lipton, Ph.D., Dr. Jacob Lieberman, Amit Goswami, Ph.D., Reverend Michael Beckwith, and others. She has appeared in a number of documentaries, Opening a Search for Harry, Ghetto Physics, the movie co-produced by E. Raymond Brown with Will Arntz, producer of What the Bleep Do We Know, and soon to be released, Punk Science, the movie produced by Dr. Manjur Samantha Lauden. And I will read you a quote by Sonia Barrett, and then she'll be joining us after this. Recognizing our spiritual and perceptual boundaries and comfort zones is a major factor in our quest for answers. In general, we are unaware of what we don't know, and the distance widens even further when we are affixed behind a barrier of limiting beliefs. Reality is a great science that has no boundaries, only those that we create for our own comfort. There is no right or wrong way to grow, but it can be of tremendous assistance in recognizing the limitations which hold us bound. And that is the quote by Sonia Barrett. And I just want to welcome you to Heart of Mind, Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's definitely an honor.
And for me as well. So I have been fascinated with your material for a number of years now. And I have found that you really can explain something that if you look in a textbook or you talk to a scientist, it's going to be extremely complicated. But you have a mystical vision and you're seeing this information from a very deep core place. It's almost as if you're plugging in to the knowledge of the universe, the knowledge of creation in some ways. And I know that you came upon this really through your own commitment. So I would love for you to introduce to our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you came to be the teacher that you are?
Well, let me say, first of all, I do love what you just said when you said it's as if I'm plugging in to the knowledge of the universe. I don't think anybody has said it quite so on point. But, yeah, you said it quite on point. It's one of those things, trying to explain how do you know what you know. And it is. It is as if I'm plugged in and I'm able to just see pretty much anything. Now, yes, let me say that I've always been curious. As a child, I was always curious about this idea that we call life and how interesting it is. So for a small child, my thought process was already kind of out there. Growing up in the church, even though I loved going to church, I was still going beyond those concepts that were being presented to me in my own little mind. And then, of course, skipping forward to teenage years, sort of getting into, I always liked mysteries and all of that, but and during the teenage years, I started looking at, the Bermuda Triangle. I started dabbling a little bit, Edgar Cayce, just things. And then I kind of set that down for a little bit. I think I started to spook myself some. And so I didn't really, although I stayed in that state of curiosity, I didn't really dive in until around 1992. And that was based on me leaving a 14-year marriage situation that was a very very severe most of the time experience, with two children. And so that propelled me into wanting to really understand what is this thing we call life. What did I just go through? Why did that happen? And where am I? What is this? And so that was really what propelled me. And I was very determined and very consistent. And I did not know how to meditate. I always like to tell people that I came to this very raw. I didn't know anything about any workshops or metaphysics. I just really knew nothing. And so I read a couple of books. I read Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb and Dancing in the Light. And those books basically gave me a sense that, there are other people that have a curiosity. And so, and I read Masters of the Far East, and I picked up my Bible, and I went through it again. I thought, what did I, is there anything that I missed? Are there things here that I didn't quite get? And so that was what I did. Then I set everything aside and decided that there had to be a way to know. There had to be a way to push beyond this, and I didn't know what I was trying to push beyond. I just knew that there was something beyond anything that I had been told. So I would then spend the next several years basically on my own, discovering and pushing myself forward on my own, learning how to meditate, just sort of wandering on this this breath, breathing, after sitting diligently, every day, for a little while, not knowing what or how. I just knew there was something that should happen. And one day it did. And that shifted me into a space where it seemed like I was seeing the backdrop of this life, of all of this. It's sort of like seeing behind the computer. It's like all the wires, everything. How does this all work? And that was sort of the beginning for me in that sense. And I became like a child in a candy store. And so I just became very dedicated to pushing the boundaries and pushing the boundaries. And over time, over, I'd say, a 10-year span, I just developed a sense of trust in what I was seeing, what I was understanding. And, there are other things in there that happened where I would get a sense of, for example, I had a question. There's something that I really wanted to know, and I would just go and I would lay on my back, and because I would feel this sense of this information wanting to show up to me. And I would lay on my back, and I wouldn't be asleep, but I would go into this in-between state. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it better now. But I would just be there, and then whatever I needed to know just seemed like it would be there. It would show up. And so I started writing some of this stuff down after a while. I started trusting that, and over time, things would show up to confirm the science or, what I was understanding, and I didn't know the term. I didn't even know anything about quantum physics and the idea of it, per se. But things would show up, or I'd wander into this particular bookstore when I got to know that there were things out there, and something would, a book would just, maybe pop up or something. But things would just show up to confirm what I was knowing. And then over time, as I wrote and it changed and I grew and expanded, I realized that maybe I might have a book here. And so I started to just sit and put these things together. And as I was writing this and putting it together, the book just sort of took form. Like, it let me know what chapters, what goes here, and, directed me to maybe a quote that would support what I was saying, so it wouldn't be a book where it was just me saying, but I could use other, aspects, other excerpts to support some of these things, because it would be, I think maybe better for a reader to see, oh, okay, supported by this science. So that's my journey, and that started, like you said, in 1992, and here I am. I hope that brings you up to date to some degree.
Yeah, I think it does, and it really gives people a sense of who you are. And I think this is significant, because one of the things I have heard you say is that it's really important for everyone to understand that this is a process that everyone can do, should they choose to do it. And maybe they would be inspired through different kinds of information, but this is the new human, I would say. And speaking of that, one of the most fascinating things for me about your work, and you did write the book, The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. And a lot of your talks are referring to the Matrix. But the way I understand it, that there are levels of what we can come to understand as the Matrix. In one sense, there is an underlying structure to the very existence that we're in terms of our bodies, in terms of the earth, in terms of the energies that have an impact on human beings and on time. And then layered over that are the false matrices that are created by forces of power and control. And what I'm seeing through your work is that you're basically a systems buster. You're like busting through the matrix on the level.
I'm a
hacker. Yeah. on the level of, the corruption and the corporations and the control and everything that's going on around us. But I think more significantly, and maybe this is really the only way to get through, is to really look at sort of this lattice work that is put into place for all of us who are unconscious beings, and we all are on some level aware beings, unaware of the underlying structures that control our lives. But you've actually mapped out and charted that pathway to get through it. It's, it came to my mind as a journey of truth, pulling people through the woods to get to freedom. But it's, we really have a way of explaining to people what the mind is, what we are as being. So there's so much information potentially to share, but maybe you can give people some idea of what the matrix of our body, the matrix of our realm, and the matrices of power?
Well, you know, we can use the word matrix or systems, and I think if people look at it in terms of that, when I'm talking about, you know, I talk about a matrix and a matrix and a matrix, we're talking about systems, and our bodies are systems, and the environment that we live in, the Earth is a system, and the planets are, you know, systems, the universe is a system, and it's really just, it's a construct that is designed specifically to support a particular form of life or a particular, what should I say, experience, that's the word, a particular experience. And so everything within that system operates based on the design of that system. For example, here on the planet, we are in these bodies, and the environment is run by specific gases. You know, the we call it the laws, then the laws of these particular gases that allow this particular human experience, and of course the body then has to be designed to process those gases, and one of which we all love is oxygen. So everything is designed based on a particular blueprint that will allow a particular kind of experience. So when we look at systems, we can look at it that way. However, there nothing is final, and you know, nothing is finite. Everything is expandable. Everything is pliable. Everything is, you know, can go through a process of evolution, of change. And this is what we are doing in this experience. However, when we are not aware, then we tend to be locked into more of that, what appears to be this sort of finite experience. Now, I know you were asking about these other systems of control, because there's so much that could be said around what I just said, but I don't want to jump around. So I'm making a note real quick, so I'll get back to that. But in terms of these other these systems that we look at, those of control, like our government and so on, what we must understand is that within the construct of what we call life here, this particular Earth life, there are systems in place that will support a particular way that the, I call it a game, the human game experience will function. On this physical level, we deal with these constructs, governmental systems, educational systems, corporate systems. If you hear the word system in there, that's because a system has a particular way in which it will operate and what it stands for and what it does. Well, those systems run the system of the basic human, like a computer program. So we have a basic human program, right, that we operate by. And that's in this 3D version where we drive our cars and we, you know, we go to work and, you know, we get sick and we do all of these human things. Well, that system, those systems we talked about, they somehow govern that whole thing right there, and they set down rules and you know, laws. These are all boundaries, basically, for a human being, and we sort of have gotten programmed to the acceptance of these boundaries, and that includes even our money and the value of things and the value of money. And those are all things that we've agreed on to some degree by which we will operate and play this level of the game. And I'm very specific with saying that, playing that level of the game, now of the human experience, the human game. Now, there is now the opportunity, however, that doesn't mean that we are confined to that space. All of that exists like a default program, like a default system. When everybody is in more of their sleep state and very hooked into our survival mode and program, all of which is very promoted, very supported here, is everybody being in survival on different levels. When we become more aware of that kind of structure, we have the opportunity to begin to ask these profound questions that begin to stimulate our awareness, our consciousness, to begin to gradually shift beyond those kinds of limiting ways in which that part of the game functions, those kinds of limiting belief systems that are projected and supported by that level of the human experience, by that level of the game. And so we can look at it as a default system, and it will run like that and continue to run like that. When the individual starts to awaken, you begin to come into different levels of awareness, and you begin to shift your thinking, your belief system, your perception, begins to transcend a lot of, you know, those things that seem to be imprisoning us or holding us bound. And so that's what I can explain on that level, and I always like to make sure that, you know, it's clear enough to give people an idea as to, you know, what we're dealing with. Now, when you mentioned, yeah, in a way, yes, I'm sort of a hacker buster, reality buster, seeing basically beyond that, hacking my own mind to go beyond the boundaries, the illusion anyway of boundaries that were projected to me, projected to you, as to what our boundaries are in terms of what we can believe, what's possible for us as a human being. I, however, come forward and go, well, wait a second, there really are no boundaries. These boundaries are an illusion. However, they're there until we realize that they're an illusion, and then we begin to step beyond the programs that are there to support those boundaries. The other thing I want to say real quickly before I stop is that we also need to realize that the brain has a 360-degree view of all potential realities. However, it filters according to the evolution and the awareness of the individual that is governing and running that central system of the brain and the body and the mind. You as a being, it filters according to the belief system that you have, and those belief systems determine what your perception is going to be. So as we become more aware, as we expand in our perception and we allow that and we give permission for that, then the filter begins to gradually shift away, move away, and we begin to experience and see more of what's possible and go beyond what seems to be limitations.
Excellent, excellent. And I would like to go a little bit more into that if we have time. Can you review for us what this material is, the audio book, the 7-day program, and the DVD, The Surrender?
The book, of course, is, it's the audio version of the first book that I had done, which is packed with information, and I see people's books years later when I go to conferences, and it's marked all through the book. It's very cutting edge in the sense of some of the questions that it raises, it is life-changing is all I can really say to you about that. It questions even is death then a necessary process, or is it simply part of the Matrix program? Is it then possible that the concept of dying will cease to exist once humanity uncovers the deception? So it is very edgy, and everything is laid out in such a way that what I hear from people is that they knew this. In their heart, they knew it. You feel it. And that is what I love about this, is that you know it. What is, and you know. There's no convincing anybody of anything. But anyway, so that book is got a lot of information in it. And The Surrender, I did a few years back, and in this one I did actually with the audience do the meditation that I had done in the beginning, in my own shift and my own awakening, what just sort of showed up, and I was able to begin to tap into or go beyond life as I had seen it, or life as we normalize it. And so that is part of that, and so much that we have done, we did with the audience and little experiments that we were able to do there in the audience, which you'll also see in people realizing that they really were connecting with each other's minds, people had never met before. So that you will also see, along with in everything that was shared around about the science of reality and all of that, many things. And simple ways to step outside of your comfort zone, 7-day program. And it says 7 days, but it is so profound in the sense of taking you through each day. And it's everything I share is everything that I do with myself. So that's the thing, is these aren't things that I just sort of made up. I have to look at how I have journeyed. And in looking at how I've done my journey, how it all happened, I designed these things based on all of that. And so 7 days, you know, it could take you more than 7 days. You could get to day 3, which I've heard from other people, and it took them a week or a few days to get through day 3, because this is about coming in, really facing yourself. And this step-by-step process of in the morning and in the evening really gets you to see what's there, what's in your mind, what is it that you want to change about your life, what are your belief systems, things that you just don't really see because we get caught up in survival every day. And so it is a really wonderful process, and the results, you know, from people have been exactly what I was hoping would happen when I created that. Everything I do because I want to see people. I want to assist, if I'm asked, to be able to help others to move forward from maybe where they are right now in their lives, if that's what one wants to do. And I don't believe in imposing anything on anybody, but I like to let people know that everybody, this is their birthright, everybody has the ability to tap into an understanding that is beyond this one that we appear to have our minds locked into. And all of this material expresses that and assists with that.
Very, very good. And just to remind everyone, the number to call is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You can go to the website give2wbai.org as well, and you can receive the this premium, the Sonia Barrett consult pack, which is limited, and then you can also receive it remains available without, once the consultations run out. And that is the Sonia Barrett pack with audio, book, video, and 7-day program for your pledge of $200. And we have a very limited quantity of the Sonia Barrett with the 30-minute consult. And that's $225 when you call 516-620-3602. But I would like to get back to our conversation, Sonia. Also, I did want to let people know that you are going to be in New York City coming up very soon, June 2nd, doing a workshop, Moving into the Superhuman Consciousness Age. So let me ask you this. You know, what's really interesting is that you do a lot of lectures, you do a lot of workshops, you do private consultations, and you really work with people to help them get out of their own way. And I see what you're doing in two different phases. In one sense, you're looking at the spectrum of what's possible as we evolve and as we come to deeper understandings. But there's also a level where there's a lot more that we could do right now in terms of moving forward in our lives once we break down some of those obstacles that you speak about in these programs. And so I would love for you to give our listeners some kind of tangible way of understanding that these limiting beliefs are actually creating our reality, and we have to change our beliefs in order to transform the reality that we're living.
Yes, and I know that for some people, depending on where they are on this journey with this awareness, it could be like, yeah, you know. Yeah, I changed my belief. I've been doing that and nothing's happened. But, you know, we have to really come to a place where we really understand why is that so important. How are we truly affecting our reality? And, you know, science says, quantum physics says that, you know, you can't observe something without affecting it. And that becomes so important and so true. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we're able to slow down and take a look at certain things in our lives, we will see our own projection. We'll see how we've affected the field at different times in our lives in different situations. And all of this is supported, again, by what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about our life. That becomes our foundation, our core foundation and our focus. And whatever we focus on, we actually are crystallizing, whether it's a belief system, a way that we think, the character that we've created for ourselves, the identity, the way that we've identified ourselves, who we think that we are, what we believe about what we should have, what can happen for us. You know, I've always been, somebody says that, you know, I just live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I'm always not unlucky in love. Why does everybody, you know, treat me like a doormat? Or, you know, just so many things that we can stop and we can each have something that we've been telling ourselves. And whatever we tell ourselves, it is a truth for us. That means that life then has to unfold to support that story, that belief that we've told ourselves. And believe me, that I have had to come face to face with many things that I believed about myself or that I told myself over the course of my life, but they're so normal to us that we don't think anything of it, and so life continues to be what it is. We're wondering, you know, when is this going to change or why things are not changing? And it's because there's a story, a core story that we have, and we keep living that story. And life, because it's so pliable, the reality, or if you want to call it the universe, everything is so pliable that it is responding to the lawgivers and the magician, which is us. Its job is to respond to us and our belief systems, and like the genie's lamp, present us, you know, with whatever we believe to be true about ourselves. Now, in a way, it's almost like it's a little bit of a cruel game. It's almost, I always say it's almost criminal. It is criminal that it does that, because we don't remember what's possible, and we don't remember who we are, and we don't remember that we are waving a magic wand simply through our beliefs and thoughts and understanding and all of that. And so our lives are showing up in that way. So it is a matter of being able to come face to face with the, and be honest with oneself, which is what the simple ways to step outside of the comfort zone, what it does. You come face to face with the truth about yourself, your life. Am I happy? You know, am I not happy? You know, how do I think? What do I believe? What do I dream of? What life would I like to have? What have I told myself why I can't do these things? So you're coming face to face, things where you blame other people, you know, for the life that you have. Well, you take a step back and you remove yourself from that blame process, whether you're blaming yourself or other people, and regret, all of that. I toss all of those things out. Regret, shame, you know, all of those things, you throw them out, because they really just serve to keep you in that space, to keep crystallizing a story to support those things. When you're able to move them aside, and why is it possible to move them aside? Because you're going to come to a space where you realize this has only been an experience. This is an experience. I've had an experience, a human experience, good, bad, and indifferent, whatever that may be. It was an experience. Now, this is all a stepping stone for me. You're using this, all of your experiences, as a stepping stone to keep moving forward and to change the choices that you would have made in the past based on the beliefs that you had in your mind and the perception that unfolded from those belief systems. So it is about, you know, what do they say in the Matrix, that the Oracle, know thyself?
Yeah.
Know thyself becomes, it is the most profound thing. That little statement is the heart and soul of much of this. Know thyself takes you way beyond anything that you can imagine. Much of what we know about ourselves is based on programming and the projected concept about what reality is, what reality can be, and even from your family, from your parents. We've just sort of picked up all of this information and have created this identity, this version of ourselves. Now, to know thyself is to go beyond that version of self that have been created by our environment and all of those systems around us.
And what is the potential for moving through this process in the sense that it isn't likely that we're going to be living in an entirely different reality? The same operating system for the unconscious human will be running, the same operation systems for sort of the government systems of control will still be running. But, you know, there's a way in which we can create our life somehow that transcends those limitations. So could you speak to that?
Yeah, and that's true. It doesn't mean that everything around you, how it appears anyway, is going to necessarily seem like a change, but I can guarantee you it does. That's a whole other story of things looking the same, but they're really not. Space is looking the same, but they're not.
And sometimes they don't look the same. I mean,
sometimes they don't.
I wake up in certain days and colors look different, depending on the energy that I'm experiencing.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that because it's true. But when people are in such a sleep state, it's bah humbug or it's everything looks the same. But when you open up your mind, you will realize the glow of the sun is different today. I remember the first time I experienced that when I remember coming down the stairs of my apartment then in the 90s, and I thought, whoa, everything looked similar, but I thought, it's as if I am somewhere else. Everything looks similar, but even the way the sun shines is different. But these are the things that start unfolding for you, and that is the great science that sits behind everything, where nothing is static. Everything is the wave and particle. Everything is constantly appearing and disappearing and changing all the time. And so what we're talking about with, you know, the government and all of that, even our perception of your relationship with those systems in place will change. The fight changes. That idea of oppression and fight and what the system is doing to you, that also begins to change. And you will find that a lot of times there are things that it just doesn't even touch you. It doesn't approach you. I know for some people it sounds like I'm talking something up in the air, but I'm telling you, it doesn't. It totally changes because your brain is operating on a different frequency. You're operating on a different frequency, like radio waves, like a radio. Mm-hmm. The transmission sort of changes, and how these things are coming towards you and the kind of interaction that's happening begins to change. Whatever the energy is, the war energy, the fight energy, has to be supported, and so therefore that things seem to unfold in that manner. But when we shift, and I don't mean talking yourself into anything. I don't mean convincing yourself. I don't mean for trying to make yourself be positive. I am not speaking of that. Because those things, a lot of times, they just don't work because your core belief has not changed. And so you go, I'm being positive and nothing happened, because your core belief never changed. And the only way our core belief changes is when we really shift into that aha moment of, I get it, oh, I understand now. It is that understanding that changes you overall, period. And you are okay with certain things that you have to do. Okay, you have to pay your registration. It's not a fight against the system, but it's the way that part of the game operates. In the meanwhile, you are still busy growing yourself, expanding, evolving yourself, you know, to a place where maybe one day you will expand or evolve beyond this particular function or operation of the game, of the matrix. But you see, it's necessity. It is necessary for the sort of default operation of the human game. That, those things relate to that kind of operation. We choose a president or whoever. Yeah, we choose who's going to run the matrix. That's what I always say. We choose all of these people and these systems as they relate to this third dimensional kind of function here. So I hope that gives some clarity. There's so much more that can be talked about. There's just, you know, it is an exciting realization, let's say. I was going to say subject it is, but it's an exciting realization. And let me say one other thing too, Catherine, is that for anybody out there who might think, oh, well, you know, you just sort of, you know, easily did this. I seldom bring this up, but something is saying just bring it up. Let me explain this. When I said that I left in 1992, let me let you know, I left an abusive situation. I don't mean a little abusive. I'm talking about an abusive situation, physically, emotionally, abusive situation. I went through many struggles. When I left, I ran away. I slept in my car with my children for almost 2 weeks because I got cut off from any money, had no access to anything. So I'm throwing that in because I want you to really understand that I am coming from a place where I have experienced what it is to be all the way just hit down, and then you have to get up. You have to make yourself get up. You know, it didn't matter how educated I was or any of that. You know, standing in food line to get food, having a church help me get into an apartment. Just so many of those circumstances that I faced. But you know what? All of those, including the 14 years of my experience in that relationship, were all things that became a stepping stone, and they propelled me into wanting to understand and to wake up to realizing. And because of that, no, there is no anger. And I see the role that my ex played and all of that. So, no, I have no anger towards him, and there's nothing for me to carry because I understand it. So I'm not walking around with my body clenched with my past. I get my past. I appreciate it. And here I am, and it brought me here. And that's what I want you to understand. Everything you've experienced have brought you to this moment, and you're listening to the show. And that's why you're listening to the show right now, for whatever those reasons are. But everything you've experienced have brought you here.
Yes, this is so true. I think most human beings can look at their history and relationship with spouses or parents that may have been abusive or neglectful and struggle with that sense of esteem and a sense of identity that allows us to interact in the world in a successful manner, because we do have all these kind of dogmatic ideas about what money represents, what success represents, what it's supposed to look like. Do we even deserve it? Do we deserve happiness? Are we worthy of this? Are we capable of that? So it's almost as if we're bombarded from birth with all of these limiting messages that have a way of corralling us into these pens going down a particular line of your life. And, you know, your life might look like your father's life, might look like your grandfather's life. And so we have a tendency to stay within the confines of how we've been programmed as children. And there is no blame because it's generational. But if in the few minutes that we have, can you express some sense of the magic that you've experienced by reaching this level of awareness?
Well, it was gradual. I mean, I have to say that I was still making, but it was a gradual process. And over time, I pushed further and further, and a sense of freedom that is unexplainable, but there's a sense of freedom that I experience where I don't feel like anyone is doing anything to me. I'm able to step back and see the moments, the choices that I make in certain moments, and then go, aha, and then I look at why I made those choices, because there's a reason, and then I look at what was that trying to show me? And then I see that as clues and cues. So my perception as to how I see things have changed. I don't see things, anybody, you know, doing things to me or things being done to me, but rather I look at it as almost like some sort of readout, a data, a printout to show me something else. But, yeah, my life is definitely way lighter, and I don't carry that load of survival that maybe I carried at one time, because I see that everything is possible and everything is there for me as according to what I understand, and I just keep stepping up my understanding. So my life is definitely much lighter, freer, without having expectations per se on other people, and not having to adhere to these protocols you mentioned before, because that's what they are, the success, failure, and so on, those protocols. Now I do what anything I do it because I want to, because I really in my being feel like it's going to give me joy or pleasure. I don't do it because, oh my God, I really need the money, I need to do this. And those are things that we gradually learn and shift from. And we do that because we're so anchored to survival. And just to know that you're okay. I always say, even if I ended up on a park bench, I'm okay. Not that you want to, but I'm just saying it's that kind of freedom from fear of the outcome. Fear of the outcome is what holds us a hostage. When I learned that, not fearing the outcome allowed me to be free, and then I didn't end up having to have those outcomes because I didn't have any fear about it. You're okay, no matter what, you live. That's what I always say.
Mm-hmm. And you get to a point where you're not creating your own obstacles, because this is how I see it, that it's not so much the system is directly working against us, but that we're so programmed and so limited into these lines of programming that we prevent our own success. We prevent
Absolutely.
Our own happiness. We mm-hmm. prevent ourselves from having wholesome relationships, because mm-hmm. we're always sort of fighting it out with this primal level of programming that keeps us very, very constrained. And I heard in one of your lectures that you were talking about, it's like the system, the body, the human being is set up to be able to operate on autopilot. In that regard, we do need those survival skills. We do need to be concerned about survival, looking at the history of humanity, but we've reached a point where we really don't have to do that anymore, and we can be so much more expansive in our day-to-day life and in what we can accomplish.
Right. We do a lot of externalizing, is what you're saying. So we've been sort of programmed to keep looking out there somewhere. We're always looking outside, and that really does sort of take us from really interacting with that deep awareness and that power that really is truly inward. And so that becomes a real important realization, is to gradually begin to do that, to move back inward. And it's it's just profound, and it's well worth it. That's all I can say. It's just so well worth the journey.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is, because we came here for this journey, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
So
we
should get, you know, the most out of it and not lead ourselves through lives of suffering. And really what I see in what you're teaching is a very high mastery of self-responsibility, as well as really opening up to understand the sort of the substructure that we are as beings, our reality, and everything that we're dealing with. And it's a very complicated issue, but we don't have to be absolute scientists, because we have that innate quality that allows us, through that wisdom that comes through, to be guided. So it isn't like you have to entirely figure it out in your brain. The information is coming through. Mm-hmm. You just have to be able to pay attention to that.
Right. You have to be available to it. Everybody has, as they say, the hookup. Everybody is connected. So meaning connected to that which is undefinable. Everybody is that. Everybody is that fabric. Mm-hmm. And so you have access to all of this information.
Excellent, excellent. But I want to thank you very much for joining us today. And for those who want to find out more, you can go to Sonia's website, therealsoniabarrett.com. She spells her name SONIABARRETT, therealsoniabarrett.com. This has been Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. Thank you for joining us. I'm Catherine Davis. You can be in touch by email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at heartofmindradio.com. Stay tuned for more great programming and join us again next Saturday at 6 p.m. for Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium.